Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
So I'm with Tia Keats, and she's involved in the Young Women in Energy events. Maybe you can just tell me a bit about how you got into the event industry.
So I was new into the energy industry in 2014. I wanted to figure out how I could make an impact and kind of build my network in the Calgary and energy area. So I had been connected on LinkedIn with a couple of the Young Women in Energy leads and actually the creator of Young Women in Energy. And I just started going to events, and then they had a volunteer open house and they were recruiting for someone for an event manager, an event lead, and it kind of snowballed from there. I had my first event over a year ago and I've been planning events with them ever since.
And what were some of the things that you were surprised about when you planned your first event?
It was kind of a free-for-all for the first event, and we were working on very tight deadlines, and typically when you're planning an event, you usually like to start months ahead of time, and we were working on more of a week's deadline. So it was kind of working with the event leads at our hotels we were working at and making sure that they knew that we were a nonprofit and were requiring a little bit more flexibility with some of the rates, and just really pushing for what we wanted and not exactly taking everything that the hotel said with face, and see how we could work together instead of just taking the package as is. Because there's a lot that can work for you if you're working with a vendor, not just take things as is.
Like what are some of the things that were as is that you kind of manipulated?
Definitely the food packages. Food at hotels is extremely expensive, so making sure that we were seeing our numbers, and we knew that typically we have women coming to the events, they don't eat as much as men coming to events, so they would say, oh yeah, for 5 to 7 appetizers per person, and we would say more 3 to 5 for women coming after work.
And how did that work out?
They're pretty responsive. I mean, if it was, we've never ever had to throw or run out of food. We've always had to throw away food, so it was kind of, they knew it was kind of up to us. If we ran out of food, we would take the heat for it and learn for next time, but we had knew based on our previous numbers that we would always throw away food, so we had that data to showcase. And another really big one, which is how I got involved with Calgary Show Services, is that the AV in hotels is incredibly, incredibly expensive, and there was an option that they didn't disclose to us in the beginning, but when we pushed a little harder, that we could bring in an external vendor for a fee, but they were able to waive the fee for the nonprofit and bring it in for much, much cheaper.
Were there any other considerations that they made for the nonprofit?
Typically, if we had we would have a minimum spend and get the event space for free. That was pretty much the only consideration that they had, and waiving the fee for the AV for someone to come in. Just working with us with waiving their fees as much as possible, but it's definitely a challenge.
So you pay for the space, but they waive the minimum to hold the room kind of thing?
We would not pay for the space. We would have to have a minimum spend for food and alcohol.
Oh, I see.
Which can also be challenging because if you're not paying for the bar service, then you never know how much you're going to spend. And we had a situation once where we didn't meet the minimum spend, and that it would have been cheaper to pay for the room and just pay for the food that we wanted, because it ended up paying exceptionally more for the event than we needed to. We were able to negotiate and have a credit for the venue, but it's definitely, read the contracts carefully, because there's definitely areas in there where you can get a little bit twisted if you don't meet your numbers.
What about getting people to the event? How are you spreading the word?
We have a pretty strong social media presence on LinkedIn, smaller on Facebook and Twitter, but definitely LinkedIn. That's where our network comes from. We do have a pretty strong email distribution list, and we see that most of our attendees come from the email distribution, and that goes directly to our members.
So LinkedIn, it seems simple because it's, you know, young women in energy, and mm-hmm. it's energy professionals, and that's kind of the space that they're going to be. But for people who are maybe planning a different style of event or have a different attendee mm-hmm. base, you know, they could be more popular on Facebook or Instagram. So it's really good that you kind of knew where the clientele were.
Yeah, I think it's knowing your audience for sure.
And in that regard, what did you cater the event to specifically? Like, were there considerations, because it was all women, aside from the smaller food portions, like maybe with the decor or just the style of the event generally?
Yeah, we definitely want to cater to all women. So a big barrier for women in the industry is childcare and timing of events. So we do offer events at different times of the day. Our Acumen events are typically over breakfast time, so during work hours, where they can take time off work to come to an event where they're not necessarily looking for childcare. We try to have our events run on quite a tight timeline, so there's not a lot of room for issues with their babysitter coming home or coming back. So we really try to make sure that the event times and the locations are in a reasonable part of the city in a reasonable time for all working women to get to, but also those women who have a family at home to take care of.
And what about the decor or food options themselves?
Decor, we're pretty light on the decor because it's a very expensive option for a nonprofit. We have worked with some that give us a preferred rate, but we try to stick with our teal and white colors for events. Same with AV, we try to cut it down a bit so we don't have the projectors and everything because it can get expensive, but we do a lot of printing, so we have like poster boards that we use kind of as decor, but also to present the event and the topics.
What kind of tools were you using to keep track of all of the different signage, attendees, ticketing?
Yeah, for
this
sure.
Kind of stuff?
Eventbrite has been our best friend. So we use Eventbrite to manage all of the email communications to our members. So we have the list that we just send out and they can register through the Eventbrite app. And that also helps us do the attendance lists so we can export and make badges for our participants. And that's pretty much the only tool we use. We have a communications kind of department in our group and they help us make the signage. And then we're trying to lock down some vendors to make sure that we keep our printing costs low because color printing is just very expensive
yeah,
as well.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Maybe they would offer some kind of sponsorship
by
having their logo or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that where you're approaching for when you're approaching for a sponsorship, are you trying to tie in sponsors that are applicable to the attendees mm-hmm. demographic?
Typically our sponsors at this point are energy companies in Calgary. So we have different levels of sponsorship, but usually when they're sponsoring an event, they're kind of sponsoring the content of the event. In the next couple of years, we're trying to look at getting sponsors for different types of aspects of the event. So we know that the printing costs a lot, so we might try to get a sponsor to sponsor the printing and we can showcase them or in different facets of the events, just not the content, which is how we typically have gotten sponsorship for the events.
And what do you think the sponsor gets out of it?
They definitely get exposure to a lot of different professionals in the downtown core, and there's a variety of organizations that we have participants coming from, so they definitely get exposure that way. It does show that they have some community investment in the downtown Calgary area. It's a bit different now with the economy the way it is, but it's definitely important that they continue to invest in women in the industry, young professionals in the industry, and the community itself. And we really try to, they get that exposure and we try to partner with them the best we can.
What about Instagram and Twitter during the actual event? Are you using a hashtag? And then after the event, are you keeping track of the metrics? Like how many people followed us, how many people tweeted mm-hmm. about us, that kind of stuff?
We're pretty junior on that front. We are gaining a presence on Twitter more. We've had Twitter feeds previously in them. It was a little bit hard to manage during some of our events because there had to be kind of a moderator of the Twitter. And that's something that we weren't fit for at the time, but social media is definitely the way of the future, so we're trying to build our presence and kind of build our brand around Twitter and move into Instagram in the future.
Have you considered streaming any of the content live, like trying to stream it on Facebook or get YouTube subscribers or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we definitely have had tons of discussion about it. We recognize that there is the energy sector in Calgary, but we also have some members out in in Edmonton and some of the field locations, and we want to be able to engage them as well. So we're looking at how we can broadcast to them without them necessarily having to be present at the event, and how we can give them value that way. I don't know if we'd go the route as publicly broadcasting it to, say, YouTube or anything, just because we want to have our content for our members, but we're trying to find that happy medium between members who are outside of the Calgary area, but also keeping it the content for ourselves as well.
Yeah, maybe that content could be recorded, edited, and available as some kind of advantage to the
sure.
group as well. That's one of the things I'm concerned about, is we seem to be moving to a pajama culture,
yeah,
where
true.
You know, where there's more and more going onto Facebook Live and all these different live streaming, and I'm worried that people are going to stop actually attending the events. Mm-hmm. And I guess the only argument would be that you kind of lose like the direct relationship with one another.
And a big part of our events is allowing women to come in and build their network with peers, and we want to have a social platform where they're able to do that and get the event digitally if possible. But that's kind of future thinking for Young Women in Energy, trying to sustain where we are now for sure.
And what about the accounting and money management? Do you have like a specific accounting method, and is it all contained on an event by event basis where you can look back and say, this event specifically cost this much, and this is kind of what we got out of it, how many attendees?
Yeah, we definitely have more of a look back approach to our events. We try our very best to kind of break even for events being a nonprofit, but we've definitely had to rely on sponsorships a lot more. So we've kind of accepted the fact that we're going to be spending money on events, which is fine. We definitely look at how many people we had in attendance compared to the cost of the event, just to justify it at the end of the year and determine what worked and what didn't work. We have a post-event survey that we send out to all of our participants and try to get that as much feedback as possible for them, for what they liked, what they didn't like, what they want to see in the future, and really cater to our audience.
And when you had your first event, were there any costs that you didn't think of? Like, I know now you probably have this kind of reoccurring budget and you know what to expect, but something must have been a surprise the first time around.
I would say it probably wasn't the first time around. It was the second time around that we got up, really caught up in the contract at our venue, which was when we didn't meet the minimum spend. So we chose to have food, which we knew the cost of the food would be, and then have an open bar and have that as contributing to our minimum spend. We didn't meet the minimum spend with the bar and ended up having to pay, it was something ridiculous, like 50% of the minimum spend plus what we've already spent plus the room rental. It was an exorbitant amount that we got stuck with, and we definitely learned from that, and making sure if there's any questions that arise when you're reviewing the contract to work with the account manager at the venue, because there's not much we could do from there. But luckily we were able to let us take it as a credit on our account, and we had to use it within before the end of the calendar year for their books as well. But definitely learning moment there for sure. I caution everyone, read the contract very carefully and understand the minimum spends.
If you were stranded on a desert island and you could only have one meal for the rest of your life every single day, what would it be?
Okay, I am a person of very unrefined taste, and it would probably be like an Italian-style pizza, like a margarita pizza, just thin crust, nothing fancy, or like a fried chicken sandwich. No refined taste here.
And if people are looking to find out more about the Young Women in Energy or you or the events that you're putting on, where should they go to find you?
So they can go to www.youngwomeninenergy.com. And if they're interested to know more about events, you can email events@youngwomeninenergy.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Andrew Spencer and Chris Benoit. Please join us in 1 month for the next event planning podcast. You can also visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.